And then tonight, we're going to continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll finish chapter 1 tonight. And if you're watching online and are looking for additional Bible studies, you'd like to study Scripture, you can go to our church website, southheistbaptist.com, and you can click on the media ministry, and there is a whole bunch of preachers there, and one of them is your pastor preaching through the Bible. And we have added more Bible book studies, going verse by verse. We just added to this today Titus, the little book of Titus. A lot of very practical things in Titus. For example, there is husband-wife relationships, the responsibilities and qualifications of a pastor, employee-employee relationships, and all kinds of very practical things. And so take a look at that, will you? But tonight we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 1. Begin reading in verse 21. And now, he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some of the things that God does for every believer. Now, if you're interested, I have a list, and I could pull it up out of my files, of about 36 things that God does for you the split second you get saved. And if you'd like that, you won't even have to send in $2 or $3. Just ask for it and I'll make a copy for you. And if you want it out there, I can mail it to you, send me a request. But we've been focusing on a few of those. The first thing he does is at the point of salvation is he establishes, Paul says, us in Christ. That's a positional truth. The Holy Spirit baptizes, he places us into the body of Christ, and he identifies us with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. So he establishes us. Then number two, I mentioned that he anoints us. He anoints us. And that has a couple of parts. The first thing out of the anointing, you know, well, you hear a lot of thing about the anointing, he's anointed. What is an anointing? Well, first thing, biblically, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is having your mind illuminated. You're able to understand the Word of God. You got to want to, but you can if you will just try. The second part of the anointing is empowerment. Empowerment. We're empowered for service. God gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us the filling of the Holy Spirit, and he illuminates our mind so that together we are able, with God's help, to understand and share God's word. Number three, we mentioned that he seals us. He mentions it here in verse 22. That happens also at the point of salvation. Over in Ephesians 1 verse 13 talks about the fact that the result of being healed by the Holy Spirit is we are secure. We're secure. You know, God can never lose his children. You know, some people believe that you can be saved and then lost and saved and then lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. But understand, Ephesians 1:13 says we are secure in Jesus Christ, and that presupposes the idea that God can never lose you. If you can be lost after having been saved, that presupposes the idea that God can lose you. You can slip away from him, but you can't. God grabs hold of you, saves your soul, and hangs on, and folks, he doesn't let go. Isn't that a beautiful truth? God, who placed you into the Lord Jesus Christ, can no more lose you than he can lie, and he can't lie. And to say that you can lose your salvation, and of course it's always by our sinning, is tantamount to saying that you are more powerful than God who saved you. Because he seals us. And because we're sealed, we're secure, and that seal denotes authenticity. You know, you have received, as I mentioned before on Sunday, the mark of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that seal is the indwelling Holy Spirit. So at the point of salvation, you're established in Christ, you're anointed, you're able to understand Scripture, and you're given the power to do something with it. Number three, you're sealed, means you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which denotes authenticity, but also that seal denotes delegated authority. Over in Esther chapter 8, verses 8 through 10, don't turn to it, we read about the king giving permission to Esther for his name to be used in what she was going to do. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he will give it to you." So we are to witness in Christ's name. We're to pray in Christ's name. We're to do everything we do in the name of Christ. And we're to go to do battle with the devil and his minions in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his authority. And of course, you don't need to be afraid because of 1 John 4:4. It says that he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. So the seal by which we're sealed is the Holy Spirit, and his presence in our lives means we're secure, we're authentic, our salvation's real, and number three, we have delegated authority. There's a fourth thing found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians 1, but back up to chapter 6 just for a moment. And that seal also indicates ownership. Look at verse 19. "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, and who you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Now, the lost man is his own boss. He can do whatever he wants because he is not owned by the Lord. Now, the penalty for that is death. You can do whatever you want, but your result is you're going to end up in hell. But the Christian doesn't have the right to do as he pleases because we belong to the Lord Jesus. We sing that song, "Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him." And the chorus we sing is, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not just for the years of time, but for what? Eternity." What a beautiful truth. Jesus, and we are his forever. Now, you know that salvation is a total commitment. God totally commits himself and his power to save you because you have totally committed your life to him. And we're to live like him. That seal also, by the way, stands for the completion of a transaction. Back up over to, we'll be back to 2 Corinthians in a moment. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, chapter 32. The seal that God places on you at the point of salvation designates a completion of a transaction. Look at verse 9. Jeremiah 32, "And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver, and I subscribed the evidence and sealed it." He signed the deed, "and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence," that's the title deed of the purchase, "both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open." Now, at the point of salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that seal of promise is that God will save you and take you to heaven when you die, and God never does break his promise. It indicates and stands for the completeness of the transaction of saving your soul. You see, to God, you're already there. In Ephesians, we read about the Christian is already seated in the heavenlies, right? Well, I thought I was seated here in Oklahoma. Well, you're physically there, but positionally, it's already such a done deal. God already sees you seated there with him. Friend, if you belong to Jesus, that means you're a child of God and you're under his ownership. So, what better place could you be? So we're sealed at the point of salvation, makes us secure. Number two, it authenticates. It proves our salvation is real. And number three, we've been given delegated authority. We're to witness for Christ in his name. And we are owned, number four, by him. And there's one more thing that the seal of the Holy Spirit denotes. It denotes that it is the down payment or the earnest of the Spirit. Come back over to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now he who established us with you as Christ hath anointed us as God, has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. One of the greatest Bible truths that you will ever hear is that once you're saved forever. Permanently saved. And that means not only can I not do anything to save myself, I can't do anything that gets me unsaved. Now that doesn't give us a license to go out and do what we want, but it gives us the power to do as we ought to. In fact, that God gives us his earnest payment, who is the Holy Spirit, is a beautiful thing. When you go to buy a house, you ask the seller, how much do you want for this house? And the buyer talking to the seller, and the seller tells the buyer how much it is. And the buyer says, well, I'll take it. And he gives the seller what is called earnest money. Earnest money. And it's a down payment that, listen, is non-refundable. It cannot be reversed. And and that's what God does when he gives you the Holy Spirit. When he saves you, he gives you the indwelling Holy Spirit as his down payment, his earnest on the transaction of saving your soul. And God never goes back on his word. Never. You can write down Ephesians 1:4 next to that verse there. Also 2 Corinthians 5:5 and 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22 is the one we were just talking about. When you accept Christ as your Savior, he gives you his seal, the Holy Spirit, as his first installment on your ultimate salvation. And you can count on it. He will keep his promise and take you to heaven. In fact, go over to Ephesians 1 just for a minute. I want to show you a couple of things, and then we'll stop. Notice that the Christian, has several things that God has done for you. I'm just going to read it quickly, and then we're going to come and talk about it as we go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Christian is super blessed. We have everything we need to make it through this life. Now, sure, we talk to God about our problems. Sure, we talk to him about our needs. But you know what? God has already provided all of it. All we have to do is appropriate it because we're super blessed. According as he hath, past tense, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, what? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Folks, that's God's purpose for our lives, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And in fact, notice verse 4 again. He has, past tense, chosen us in Christ. Folks, the Christian is super loved. Not only are we super blessed, God loved us so much that he did what? He sent his only begotten Son to die for us. So the Christian is super blessed as well. Super blessed, super loved. And then in verse 5, having predesigned or predestinated us to the adoption of children or sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, with which or through which wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, or the Beloved One. When you got saved, God made you acceptable in his sight through the person of Jesus Christ. And there's a third thing here in verse 7 that we notice. In whom, that's Jesus Christ, we, he's talking about the Jews, have redemption through his blood. I'm talking about Jews, Christians. Have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So folks, the Christian is super forgiven. Super forgiven. Wherein, or in whom, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, we talked about that before, what wisdom is. The supernatural ability to see things from God's viewpoint. The Christian is super wise, able to see things from God's viewpoint. Verse 11, in whom, speaking of Jesus, also we have, right now, obtained an inheritance by being predestinated according to the purpose of him who, now that quicken means to energize all things after the counsel of his own will. So God in eternity past made you super rich. In Christ you are super rich. You may not have a dime to your name, but if you've got salvation, you are incredibly wealthy. You have more than anybody who's lost does. Why? Verse 12, so that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, in verse 13, he says we're super secure, in whom also ye trusted after you heard the word of the truth, that's the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were, there's that word again, super sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we're not only super secure, we're super sealed. Who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is the total body of believers, under the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So, the Christian, number one, is super blessed. Number two, is super loved. Number three, super forgiven. Number four, super wise. Number five, super rich. Number six, super secure. Number seven, super sealed. And then number eight, we're super alive. You have the life of Christ in you right now. And if that doesn't excite you, you need to get excited about that. Because in other words, I can never die because he will never die. And as long as he lives, I will live. My friend Joe Mike Hodge, 40 years ago, met him and brother in the Lord. And, you know, his heart wore out after all those years. He's just a little older than me, not much. And so they found a replacement and put it in, and the hearts did really well, but the body was just didn't respond properly. And some way or another, it got an infection. And after all of that, you know, he went to be with the Lord. Well, I sent a message to his wife and said, I'm rejoicing for him and sorrowing for us. Sorrowing for us, because you see, the moment that he got saved, he was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise and can never, ever, ever die spiritually. And so he's up there. If they have a motor pool, he's working on cars up there. I don't know if they, he was an incredible pianist, incredible singer. Led church music for years. So if they don't have anything for him to fix mechanically, they've got plenty for him to sing and play. And the nice thing about it is we'll all see each other again soon. And because when Joe Mike got saved, when you got saved, you were super blessed, super loved, super forgiven, super given super wisdom, super rich in Christ, super secure, super sealed, and super alive. We had a fellow here years ago who came as an evangelist, and Larry Walker from First Baptist Dallas, and he said, one day you're going to read that Larry Walker is dead, don't believe it. He said, I'll be more alive then than I've ever been. He had 7 cornea transplants on both eyes. And folks, that's one is enough. But he had 7 sets of corneas. His eyes just kept rejecting. He said, but one day I'll have brand new eyes and I'll see Jesus and won't need glasses, won't need new cornea or replacements, because I'll be alive in him forever. And the nice thing about it, the super thing is, we're already that way. We don't have to wait to become alive. If you're saved now, you're alive in him. So, well, that's all about having this, being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let's thank the Lord for that tonight. Father, I thank you that in Jesus Christ we are super sealed. We are placed by your Spirit into his body, and we are sealed in and can never be taken out, even if we try. We don't want to try, but even if we were to try, we couldn't do it. I just thank you, Lord, for that, and I just pray that that will motivate us to live as we ought. And when we fail you, we thank you that we have an intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our advocate, and he pleads our case through his own blood, and you keep on cleansing us from all our unrighteousness. Help us, Lord, this week to share Jesus with someone every day, is my prayer in his name. Amen. Well, thanks for coming. We normally spend...